2 Peter, chapter number 1. We'll pick up our reading down at verse number 12. And then I'll turn to John chapter 21 for the reading of a couple verses as well. And with this study this evening, we bring to a close our study on the life of Peter. By no means complete, but we have been following in his steps for the last 4 or 5 months. And I hope it's benefited you in some way. And we conclude our study this evening on Peter the fisherman, Peter the Christian, Peter the apostle, Peter the shepherd. And here in his final writings, 2 Peter, chapter number 1 tells us, beginning at verse number 12, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." In verse number 14 here, Peter says that the Lord Jesus Christ had shown to him something concerning his death. And indeed, Jesus had, and that prophecy is in John 21. So I'm turning back to John 21 to read the words of Christ to Peter, spoken many years previously. John 21 and verse number 18. I think Peter had these words in mind when he was in prison in Acts 12. He knew that he was not going to die the next day because he was not old yet. And Jesus had told him he'd live to be old. In John 21:18, Jesus said to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." I'd like to speak for a few minutes on the subject, "Well done, Peter." Well done, Peter. I don't know about you, but I have certainly been reminded of myself so many times these weeks and months as we have followed in the steps of Simon Peter. The Bible tells us anyway, there's no difference. We're all the same. On our best day, we're all sinners. Some are sinners saved by the grace of God. Others are just still sinners. But there's no difference. Many would like to fancy that they're better than others. But that's just imagination. We're all the same. We've all sinned. We all need to be saved. Everything good in our lives is solely because of the grace of God. To some extent then, and for some more than others, a great extent, Peter reminds us of ourselves. Peter started out as a very talkative young man, very rash, unthinking. So many things he said were wrong, but he seemed to be the spokesman for the 12. He was at the same time a boastful man and yet very fearful. And many times people hide their cowardice behind their boasting and pride. A lot of times you find that the man that talks the most is the biggest chicken after all. Now, that was true for this man, Peter, here. But that all changed. And as Jesus prophesied from the beginning, "You're Simon, but I'm going to make a rock out of you. You're a very fickle, undependable, boisterous, and vocal, but I'm going to change you into a dependable, faithful, bold, usable Christian man named Peter. And that's exactly what we see. And it did not happen overnight. And it never happens overnight for anybody. In fact, 3 years alone, Peter still has a long ways to go. He still denies his Lord on crucifixion eve. But he certainly is a different man at Pentecost. So we just need to encourage ourselves by remembering that though Peter did change, it took years. It took years. Some people fail to pace themselves. They think, well, I'm saved and I'm going to master the Bible and become a super Christian in a short period of time. Impossible. Yeah. Absolutely impossible. If those who followed the Lord required years, it's going to require years for you and me. And we just need to know that and continue with that knowledge. But the Lord did change Peter. In fact, the Peter we read about in the book of Acts is so different from the Peter we read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So different. Such a more mature version. So bold. Whereas he had been so cowardly. So compassionate. So different. And he is a leader in the early church. You could say that Peter is the leader in the opening 7 or 8 chapters of Acts. And I shouldn't just say a leader in the early church, but a leader in the early churches, plural. Because as we shall see, Peter was involved with a lot of churches before his ministry was done. Well, with that word of introduction, we come here to these verses in 2 Peter. And here Peter is writing by inspiration. And I think it's very encouraging and interesting that though he knows he's getting ready to die, I must shortly put off this tabernacle. He speaks of his decease, which means his exodus, which means I'm leaving somewhere, but I'm arriving somewhere else. He doesn't say I'm getting ready to sleep in the cold grave till resurrection day, which is what the JWs will tell you and many others. He said I'm getting ready to leave this world and to be with Christ, which is far better. There's no dread here in these verses. He's not saying like Voltaire the atheist said, I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark. Oh no. He knows that death is the door to heaven. Death is far better. Death is to be with Christ. And so there's no fear here in these verses as he speaks about his impending death, his martyrdom. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So he's facing death. I don't think he knows exactly when, but he knows it's near. The Roman Empire was very hostile toward Christians, and by the thousands they paid with their lives, and especially during Nero's time, Peter and Paul both were put to death, the leaders of the church. So what Peter is doing is remembering. Maybe this is the last few days before his martyrdom. Maybe it's weeks or months before. The Bible doesn't say. But I'm sure that anybody, everybody, in their old age, knowing that they could die at any time, what would they do? They would look back. They would remember. So I would like for you to go with me down the hall of memory for a little bit and remember some things with Simon Peter. I say he was an old man. I don't know what the definition of old is. He might be in his 60s here. He's definitely not 70. By standards today, he wouldn't be considered old. But he has had so many wonderful experiences in his life. Met so many wonderful people. After all, he was the Lord's apostle. He did follow Jesus around for 3 years. So he knows he's getting ready to die, and he's remembering. What do you think he'd remember? I think he would remember that day when Jesus asked him and the others, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He remembered Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That is Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I'm sure he remembered that day. I'm sure he remembered not long after that when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus was praying and transfigured and appeared with the glory that he will have when he comes back. Peter remembered that he and James and John were the only three privileged to be there that day. And they talked with Moses and Elijah about the coming decease that Jesus was to accomplish at Jerusalem. I'm sure Peter remembered that the Father's voice from heaven had spoken audibly out of the cloud and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Peter had so much to remember. Yeah, I'm sure he remembers that miraculous catch of fish one night. I'm sure he remembered that time when he didn't have any money and it was time to pay the temple tax. And Peter did what we read of nobody else in the New Testament ever doing. He got a hook and went down and cast it into the sea. And there was the money in the fish's mouth. And if you hadn't heard that sermon, I encourage you to do so. Money in the fish's mouth. He remembered that. You know, that money in the fish's mouth was just exactly enough. Not 1 cent too much and not 1 cent less than was needed to pay Jesus' tax and Peter's. A coincidence? No, hardly. It's just Jesus either knew that money was in the fish's mouth or else Jesus put it in that fish's mouth. I'm sure that Peter remembers that and I'm sure he rejoices in his heart. He's looking back. I'm sure he remembered that night he walked on the water. If you walked on the water, you'd remember it, wouldn't you? You'd be telling people about it all your life. He remembered it. He remembered that Sunday when Jesus fulfilled Zechariah's prophecy and came into town riding on the donkey and offered himself as the king to Israel. He remembered that triumphal entry. He remembered that Last Supper. The prayers in Gethsemane. He remembered Judas coming and Jesus being arrested. It was very vivid in his mind, though 30 years had passed. More than 30 years. He remembered that he cowardly denied his Lord 3 times. And he thought it was the end of his Christian life. But he remembered also that Jesus had forgiven him. And that it was all forgiven and forgotten. And it didn't take Peter long, it seems, to have put this behind him. And he realized, if God's forgiven and if God's forgotten, then I should also forgive and forget. And he did, and he went on to serve the Lord. Peter's remembering. I'm sure he remembered those long, weary 3 days and 3 nights when Jesus was in the grave. It's just sad that the apostles didn't understand. They should have. Jesus told them. Somehow they just didn't fully grasp that this was what Jesus came to do. But he also remembered not just the loneliness and uncertainty of those 3 days and nights, but he remembered the joy of Resurrection Sunday when Jesus appeared 5 times that day, and one of those 5 was just to him. A personal visit from Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday to encourage him, to strengthen him, to say, Peter, here I am. I've conquered death. I am the Messiah. Just like I told you. I was in the belly of the earth. Just like Jonah in the belly of the whale. And I am the Christ. And you are my servant. And I want you to represent me and go forth and preach the gospel. He remembered that. There's so many things he could remember. You think he remembered Pentecost? When 3,000 people got saved? How could you forget it? How could you forget those 40 days leading up to His ascension? When Jesus appeared 10 times and made the resurrection of Christ the most provable event in all history. The foundation of our faith. If you've ever studied any other religion, you know Christianity is the only one that says our Founder arose from the dead. That makes it unique, and we have to stress that to people because only Christianity can say that. He remembered what that angel said on Ascension Day from the Mount of Olives, and I've stood at the Mount of Olives. He remembered that angel said, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner as you've seen Him taken into heaven. He remembered that Jesus would be back, like He said. And we all marvel at Peter in the book of Acts, his boldness, what mighty sermons he preached. We've studied some of them, Acts 3, Acts 4. He knew it could cost him his life. He ended up in prison I don't know how many times. And the miracles that he wrought as an apostle in the apostolic age, raised Dorcas back from the dead. People got healed just by being in his shadow, the Bible says. We studied the cripple at the beautiful gate. Remember him? And nobody could say anything against it. And Jesus got the glory. So Peter had a very exciting life. A very exciting life. He remembered as well that the church prayed and he got out of prison one time and he knocked on the door and they didn't believe it was him. And I'm sure he had a laugh about that. Only Rhoda recognized his voice. And there were some funny things to remember as well. Of course, I'm sure there was a tear in his eye when he remembered when the persecution hit. There's so many thousands of people getting saved in Jerusalem that the religious leaders had to redouble their efforts. And Saul of Tarsus was their main man. And the persecution was so great that the Christians had to leave Jerusalem, leave their city, leave their country, and go even up to Syria and other places. He knew many people who had suffered physically, and many shed their blood for the faith. He remembered how God used him to open the door of faith to the Gentiles. It was Peter who preached to Cornelius and his household, the Gentiles in Acts 10, and they all got saved. How he praised God for that opportunity. There's just so many things, and time would fail us to mention them all. I'm sure he rejoiced that Saul got saved. He was the last person that anybody ever thought would ever get saved, but he did. And they worked together, Peter and Paul. And there was a day when Paul had to rebuke Peter. They were both in Antioch. And Peter was a little bit prejudiced for a while. He didn't want to fellowship with these Gentile Christians when the elite arrived from Jerusalem. But Paul rebuked him to the face and he made it right. And that's one thing you can say about Peter. Is he messed up, but you know what? He could take a rebuke. Jesus could say to him, "You're of the devil." And Peter said, "You're right. I'm sorry, I'm wrong." And Paul could say to him, "You're a compromiser." And he'd say, "You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry." One thing you can say about Peter is he admitted his mistake. And he went on and learned from them. And I appreciate that. I respect that. Well, after the council in Acts 15, the Jerusalem council, Peter kind of steps off the page of New Testament history. And it's Paul that comes into the spotlight and is in the spotlight, really, for most of the rest of the Bible. So, as far as the inspired record is concerned, we don't know hardly anything about Peter after Acts chapter number 15. Except that he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter sometime AD 62, 63, something like that. But history does tell us that though the Bible doesn't record his exploits, Peter was a very busy man. Traveled widely and preached in many, many cities. And I want you to think about that with me for a little bit. There is a verse, we'll turn to it, but Galatians 2 talks about how though Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And he was a Jew, of course, and so was Paul. And they both preached to Jew and Gentile alike. But Peter had a ministry in the east, whereas Paul had a ministry in the west. Paul kept going west. He ended up in Europe, as you know, and his converts just kept going west. I want you to hear some quotes from some historians who lived at that time. Not Christians, just historians. One of them was Pliny. And he said that Christianity grew so much during that first century, especially in the first 30 or 40 years, so many heathen were getting saved. This is not a Christian now, this is Pliny. Pliny the Roman historian said that the temples to Jupiter and Mars were almost deserted. So many people were getting saved. And that the Christians were known for their purity, blamelessness, and for their love of peace. That's a wonderful compliment from historians, isn't it? And it's a good study what the world says about the Christians. There are other historians who said, "Behold how they love one another." There's another quote from a historian who says of the Christians, "They often enjoy a simple meal together." A love feast, the Bible calls it, a feast of charity in the book of Jude. There's another historian. He said those Christians have, quote, incredible dedication to their cause. They're willing to die for their cause. And I like that word. He used the word incredible. That's one of my favorite words. Incredible, he said, that Christians are so devoted to their cause. Listen to this quote. "They're fully persuaded that they'll one day enjoy eternal life." Amen. He understood, didn't he? That Christians believe they're going to heaven and have eternal life. That's just a historian, not a Christian. Peter was a part of that. In a very wide evangelistic ministry. And thousands of people got saved under his ministry. And the whole world was evangelized. And that's what Jesus had said, hadn't he? Didn't he say, "Go to preach all nations, teach the gospel, get people saved"? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And that's what happened. There were 500 cities that Peter possibly preached in during that period of time after Acts 15 and before his martyrdom, all throughout Roman provinces, now present-day Turkey, an area as big as modern-day France. He mentions those areas in his first writing in the book of 1 Peter. He mentions Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia, Cappadocia, and other places. You can find them on the Bible map. A great expanse of land where Peter went, preached the gospel, started churches, ordained elders, taught the word of God, and fed the sheep, and fed the lambs. He was catching men, and the harvest was great, and the world's never been the same. And great was his catch. Great was his catch. And I am sure that Peter was so honored when God the Holy Spirit said to him one day, "Peter, pick up your pen. I want you to write a book of the Bible." What an honor. What an honor that was. And as we know, though Peter wrote the words, it was God the Holy Spirit who gave him the words. Not just the thoughts and ideas, but the words and the letters that make up the words. So that though it was Peter that wrote it, it was God who wrote it. And if you want some books rich in theology, 1st and 2nd Peter. We used to give out tracts for Catholics. You know, they think Peter was the Pope. Of course, he was never even in Rome. But anyway, if they'll just read what Peter said. Yeah. Peter talked about how heaven is reserved, how you can know you're going to heaven. 1 Peter 1. So many subjects he covers in his writing. How to have a good home life, 1 Peter 3. How to react to suffering, 1 Peter 4. What to do when you're tempted, 1 Peter 5. How to grow as a Christian, 2 Peter 1. How to treat false doctrine, 2 Peter 2. What to expect in the end times, 2 Peter 3. I don't know of any more 8 wonderful chapters in all the Bible than 1 and 2 Peter, written by inspiration by this unworthy servant, Peter, Simon Peter. They call him the Apostle of Hope. Paul was the Apostle of Faith, John the Apostle of Love, and Peter the Apostle of Hope. And he tells us in 1 Peter, not in 2 Peter, but he tells us in 1 Peter that he wrote from Babylon. And he means literally Babylon. The old Babylon where Nebuchadnezzar was, the city still survived. And history says there was a large Jewish population still there. And his last days were evidently spent in Babylon. Whether he was martyred in Babylon, or there's some who believe that he was sent to Rome just to be martyred there, history's not clear about that. But history does tell us that he was martyred around the year 64. He sealed his fate with his blood, and his wife did too. She followed him all throughout his ministry. You remember one time Jesus healed his wife's mother, his mother-in-law. And just before they put Peter to death, they put his wife to death. And history says that they were leading his wife out to be put to death. He said to her, "Remember thou the Lord." And those were his last words to his wife. So they were both faithful. Faithful not just until death, but faithful unto death. It was a race well run and a ministry well done. Well, what happened after that? Well, the same thing that happens to every Christian when they die. He woke up immediately in heaven and opened his eyes on splendors such as he had never imagined before while he was in heaven. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, and I might ask him one day, if the first thing he didn't say when he opened his eyes in heaven was what he said on the mountain. "It's good to be here. It's good to be here." He said that one time before, you know. Well, there was James again. James, he'd been put to death in the early days of the church. And Stephen, there was Stephen again. Well, we recognized him by the hundreds and the thousands. Of course, he'd been used of God to lead hundreds and thousands of people to the Lord. And thousands had died for the faith. And what a reunion it was. And there was Moses and Elijah. He'd seen them before too.
Yeah.
They'd never seen Moses before. Noah, Daniel, Elijah. But he saw them that day. And there was old John the Baptist. "John, you remember you baptized me about 40 years ago." Yes. What a reunion. And there was Jesus. And he hadn't seen Jesus in a long time. And they were together again, Jesus and Peter. And it was just like old times, except it was 100 times better. Because there would never be anything to mar their fellowship again. There would never be any questions unanswered again. There would never be another betrayal, denial. There would never be another crucifixion. And Peter's just been having a wonderful time in heaven ever since. And he's there waiting on you and me. He finished his race. And you and I are carrying on that great work that Peter and the others so nobly advanced. And they passed it on to those that followed them. And then they passed it on to those that followed them. And they passed it on to those that followed them. One day it was passed to me and to you. And if time lasts, we'll pass it on to those who follow us. Same Bible, same teaching, same Lord, same doctrine, same faith. And it is indeed a wonderful privilege to continue in their train and to publish the Word of God. I don't know what Peter said when he first saw Jesus. You know, he'd seen Jesus 10 times after he rose from the dead. So he knew what he looked like glorified. He knew what he looked like resurrected. But I'm sure Peter said to the Lord, probably what everybody says to the Lord when they first get to heaven, "Lord, I owe it all to you. You're the only reason I'm here. Come on down here, Peter. Let me show you your mansion. You never lived in a mansion on earth. You followed me around and we slept out under many a tree. And had to get our money out of the fish's mouth. But come down here. I've got you a big mansion. Lord, I don't deserve this." Well, I know you don't. But you say, "That's just how great my love is for you. And well done, Peter. You kind of messed up there a few times way back yonder, but well done. I think it was like that, but a whole lot better. I don't think anybody's ever got to heaven and been disappointed. And it's going to be worthwhile, I guarantee you. I guarantee you nobody's ever regretted that they lived a Christian life, only that they didn't. And may God give us the grace to carry on. Amen. I thank you for your good attention. God bless you. Let's pray together, please. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Bible. Lord, we realize that it was written not merely as information, but Lord, for exhortation. Lord, it's written to encourage us and challenge us and charge us, Lord, to rely upon you. Lord, to see our opportunities, to be found faithful. Help us, O God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that not only redeems us and establishes relationship, but ensures fellowship. For Lord, sometimes like Peter, we have to go out and weep bitterly. But we thank you, Lord, that you're the God of a second chance. Thank you that every new day is a clean page. Thank you the best is yet to come. Thank you, dear Lord, for the sure and certain promise of eternity with you. And Lord, in the meanwhile, Lord, help us to be looking unto Jesus. Answer every prayer, dear Lord. Meet every need. Save sinners. Bless your churches everywhere. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Let's close with a song, please. 160 is our closing hymn. When it's our time to come to the end of our life and we look back, I wonder what we'll remember. I wonder what we'll remember. I was reading about this Catholic bishop. He was coming to the end of his life. And you know all he wanted? All he could remember. He said, "Bring me the cards. Let's play cards," he said. "Don't want to think about dying. I just want to play cards." Why? Because he wasn't a Christian. Because he's afraid to die. He didn't know God. I've never met a Catholic that was a Christian. There might be one somewhere, but I never met one. What will it be like when we look back, when we remember at the end of our journey? That's something to think about, isn't it? We'll sing the first and last of 160, please. You can remain seated. First and last. Toe of it. The toe's wore away so many times. There was a man in the Bible, he tried to bow down to Peter. Remember him?
Yeah.
Peter said, get up.
Yeah.
I'm just a man. Don't bow down to me. Acts 10, Cornelius, I myself also am a man. You don't bow down to any man. You just bow down to the one, and that's to the Lord Himself, who alone receives and deserves glory, honor, and praise. Amen. It's going to take eternity to tell the whole of the worthiness of our Lord. Amen. It's going to be great to get to heaven and meet all these people, isn't it? I look forward to it. I really do. It'll be a reunion just 10,000 times bigger than anything we've ever imagined. And get to hear everybody's story. I want to hear every one of them. And some of them, I'm sure, I'll say, you know, I read about you. I heard about you. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about you. So, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. I look forward to it. Trust you have a good rest of the week. Please pray for one another. And thank you for coming out tonight. We're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Please stay for a bite of supper if you can. Brother David, will you pray for us? Thank you.
Lord, you just love us so much.
Yes.
We need you so much. We just pray tonight that you would help us to be girded out in the armor of God, Lord.
Yes.
Just put our whole trust in you. Thank you for your word that's really encouraging. I ask you to help us to hide it in our hearts, Lord. Just to draw from it, Lord.
Yes.
We really need you. Or to attempt it, or trouble comes, we'll just trust in you. Thank you tonight, Lord. You're too good to us.
Yes.
Father, we just pray that as we go, that you would keep us safe and protect us. Lord,
yes.
Just help us to be faithful till you come.
Yes.
Yes, the wee cup of tea as well, and the food. Thank you for it, Lord. We ask your blessing on it. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. 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 You're dismissed.